We're going to start in Acts chapter 2, and we're actually going to start at the cross. And the reason we start at the cross is because it's too hard to get from Bethlehem to the Ascension in one day. It's just too hard. You follow the chart, you take the paper home, and study it as you like. Now, this is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And if you go down to verse 23, talking about Jesus, it says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge is what you know in advance is going to happen. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel. The Message Bible says, by the deliberate and well thought out plan of God. So it wasn't a surprise when God gave Adam and Eve a choice in the garden and they chose sin. It says the wages of sin is death. And that set death in, not physical death, because Adam lived 930 years, but spiritual death. His spirit died and took on the nature of Satan. They were given the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, somebody always wants to know, why did God do that? Why did he give them a choice? Because he didn't want robots.
That's right.
He wanted men to choose and to celebrate and to worship because they had it in their heart. And of course, Eve is guilty. She suggested that they eat the apple, which the scripture does not tell you it's an apple. I found out when I teach classes, a particular class of ministers overseas, I have to remind them that you're free to say we don't know. Do not try to answer anything. I was in an office and a lady said, don't you teach Bible? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, can you tell me where Cain got his wife? I said, we don't know. And she said, well, no, where did he get his wife? I said, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. You don't ad lib on the Word of God.
Right.
We don't know some things. And we just say, well, we don't know. I said, well, we don't know. God doesn't say. And she was kind of put out with me. But I thought, well, lady, just get over it because I can't tell you what God didn't say. But they chose. Now, in Timothy, it tells us that Adam was not deceived. He knew he was making a wrong choice. When Eve suggested to him that they partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he knew that wasn't the right choice. But he came into agreement with her, and they fell into sin. And sin brought physical death. God said to Adam, dust you are, and to dust you will return. Now, there was no physical death in the world. They would have lived in that garden and brought family to that garden, and that garden would have spread in different sections of the world. But all of that came to a halt when they sinned and the garden gate was closed and the angels were there watching to make sure nobody got through into that garden, because if they get into the garden now with the spirit of death and partake of the tree of life, they make death eternal. You see that. Now, Jesus came. It said the deliberate, well sought out plan of God. In other words, it wasn't a last minute effort. When Adam and Eve sinned, it wasn't, now what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The plan was already in action. Now, that is the same thing that's spoken in 1 Peter. It's in three scriptures that I know about, that this was God's plan. It was predetermined. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, talking about Jesus, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Now, you remember in the old covenant when they sacrificed an actual lamb or a goat or whatever animal it was, it had to be one without blemish because that was the type of what Christ was going to come to do. And it says, who verily was foreordained. That means they knew this in advance. God knew this in advance. He planned this in advance. This is the way it was. Before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, what was manifest in these last times for you, the plan was already on the books long before sin. Thank God, God's not last minute. One TV preacher said, and I loved it, said, God is never late, but he's frequently last minute. That was just her take on things. But this plan was on the books. Now look, if you look at Revelation, you'll see it again. See, you may run into a situation you don't know what to do, but God already knows what he's going to do. And when I reach out to him by faith, then what he's going to do becomes, Pastor Reggie always says, downloaded. Yeah. It's because he's a computer person. And we non-computer people do not download things. You understand that. You do it any way you want. But it comes to us by revelation of the Spirit, what God is going to do and what we are going to do. The action of God, the plan of God comes. Now it's in chapter 5, verse 9. This is the elders and the beast singing. They sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people." You have been redeemed to God. We've been redeemed from sin. That was the plan. And redeemed to God. Now, if you sign for the deaf, does anybody sign for the deaf? I barely know 10 signs because Wayne's brother is a deaf pastor. He's not deaf, but he pastors deaf people. And they start off here and they go to and from. You go to. You start over here. If they're telling you to go to somewhere, they're going to go this way. You come from here to here. And that's the emphasis here, that we're redeemed to God. That was the plan, that by the cross we would come to God. Now you see the cross here. You see Jesus' spirit, soul, and body. He was a spirit being, had no physical body. But when he came to earth, he came to be born on earth in a physical body because he's going to be man's substitute. And then he's going to live 33 1/3 years and he's going to come to the cross. And when he dies on that cross, he's going to go to Hades, but his body's in the tomb. Now, he was not sitting in the tomb for 3 days. His body was there, but he was not there. And when he comes out of Hades, now Hades is an old covenant word. It's not new covenant. New covenant is Gehenna, and that's the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's in Revelation. That lake wasn't open. It's for the devil and his angels. It was prepared for them. And Hades is the same as Sheol, which is in Luke 16, it talks about Hades. And you remember the rich man Lazarus that died? And it says the rich man was buried. The reason it doesn't say the poor man, the beggar, was not buried because they didn't bury him. Even in India, they go through with wagons and pick up the bodies of people that have died during the night. Mm-hmm. And they have a place where they just throw and dispose of those bodies. And that's no doubt what happened to the poor man. But that was his body. Not his spirit. You are a spirit being living a physical body. And though his body was disposed of, his spirit man was very much alive, and he was in Abraham's bosom. Hades, it says, had two compartments. There's Abraham's bosom, the place of comfort, and there's the place of torment. And it says Jesus, in Acts chapter 2, if you go over there, went to Hades. Now that bothers people, but you just read it and believe it. And let me show you this word that's very important. It's in chapter 2. Is that chapter 2, verse 27? Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That's Hades. That's not Gehenna. That's not the lake burning with fire and brimstone. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. You can't be left anywhere you haven't been. You got that part? He had to have been there to be left there. And the word is he's going to pay the price in 3 days. He's not going to be left there. Now, according to Ephesians, he came through and emptied out Abraham's bosom. See, they were waiting for the complete message and the completion of the plan of redemption through Jesus. It says, we'll get to Ephesians in a minute. Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. In other words, his body didn't even decay. And he came up. Now, we were in Germany 1 year and we had rented a car. And Wayne left me off at the place where you check in your luggage, and I was supposed to sit there and wait for him to come, but he didn't ever come. And what happened was he parked his car, and he doesn't read German or any other language. He's like his wife. We just do English, sort of. I don't like to read. You know that from me. And so he took his key up, and the lady said, you have to move your car. You parked it in the wrong spot. So what he did, since he doesn't read German, he just reparked it in a different spot, which was also wrong. So I'm sitting there, and they have these guards with these huge guns and big dogs. And he passed by and stared at me because I'd been there a long time. And he kept passing by, and he'd wonder why I'm still sitting there. And I wanted to tell him, but he probably didn't speak English, and I don't speak German. And here comes Wayne running. See, we were almost left there. So we were at the back of a long, long line. We are going to miss our plane. When they said, everybody on plane so-and-so, please come to the front of the line. Well, thank God for God. for the Spirit of God who helps you. And we went in the front of line. That was our plane. And they checked us in. They took our baggage. We did not expect our baggage to reach home at the same time we did, but we were going home. And we ran. You remember that. And I wanted a German bear, but I didn't have time. The next person that went to Germany brought me a German bear. Do you know God loves you? Do you know He wants the best for you? You know what you want, He wants? Well, we ran and got in the plane, and were very surprised when we landed. Tampa, Orlando, I forget. And our luggage was there. See, God is a miracle-working God.
Yes.
Now, we were almost left there. Almost doesn't count, by the way.
Amen.
Not left my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. It's repeated in verse 31. He's speaking as for spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh to see corruption. That's actually a quote from the 16th Psalm. So he came up triumphant. And that was the predetermined plan. That was God's plan. That was the plan from the foundation of the earth. That wasn't a surprise. You know, I like God's surprises, but I'm glad that wasn't one of them. Oh, I meant to. Did I tell you I meant to? I meant to, and I didn't. Now, that would have been terrible if God has been haphazard like you and me. You know? We had taco salad the other day, which we do have periodically. I cook on Monday and Tuesday and sometimes on Sunday, but not often. And I forgot some things. I had even gone to the store to get the ground beef. I fix taco salad. I don't fix tacos in the cute little whatsits. They're too hard to eat. And so I text Suzanne. She was coming. I said, go by. And I forgot lots of things. I don't know why I forgot all those things. I went to the store and got the ground beef and didn't get the other ingredients. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But anyway, we had to have all those things. See, and there's some things God wanted you to have, and He prepared for you to have those before the world was ever created. Now, you see here, He's spirit, soul, and body on the cross. He was a spirit being who came in a physical body, was born in Bethlehem, lived 33 and a third years, came to the cross. But when He died, the spirit was in the place of punishment, but the body was in the tomb. Now, in John chapter 20, are you with me? You can take that paper home and stare at it and read those scriptures, and they'll help you. In John chapter 20, He had risen from the dead. Now, here's the thing that's amazing. I was raised in church, been in church all my life, since church nurseries. And all I can remember is Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That was the whole message that I conquered. You know Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Do you know Jesus died on the cross for your sins? So when I came into Pentecost and found out we were spirit, soul, and body, that was a surprise to me. All I knew was the body, and you get to go to heaven when you die. I didn't even know there was any benefits of being a child of God on earth, which is where we're going today, again this day, like we did a week before last. There are great benefits. You're an heir of God. You're a child and an heir, and an heir inherits something, has some kind of property, some kind of good, some kind of a benefit for being an heir. Now, we're not like the guy, the father that had two sons, and he left all his money to one, and he left a dollar bill to the second son. The second son was very irritated, by the way. He was very surprised because he had waited. He had irritated his father all his life and had waited for this very day when he would inherit his half of the of what was a multi-million dollar mansion. But you see, the day you became a child through your confession of faith is the day you stepped into your inheritance. We're not waiting for it. It's now. Your inheritance is now. You're a child now, and children are heirs. When the testator, which is the word the New Testament uses, dies. When Jesus died and came up triumphant, then you became a child through your confession of faith, and you became an heir. Now, Mary in chapter 20 is going to run into Jesus in the garden. The message of the book of Acts is death and resurrection. We talk about Jesus died on the cross, Jesus died on the cross, and that's true, and we're very grateful. But the message always given in Acts is death and resurrection. It's in chapter 2, it's in chapter 3, it's in chapter 4, it's in chapter 5, it's in chapter 10, it's in chapter 13. They very, 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 very seldom mention the cross without the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, it's not finished. So it's death and resurrection. And when He was resurrected, He came through the garden to pick up His body. That's what He was doing there. When He ran into Mary, she came to anoint His body and found out He's not there. And it's amazing to me, if you read chapter 20, she wasn't concerned about the angels. She saw the angels and she said, well, where's Jesus? Where'd they move him? I just thought, if I'd stumbled upon two angels, I'd have wanted to know more than where'd they move the body. I mean, just seems like, and that's in chapter 20, verse 12, she saw the two angels. And then she ran into Jesus, but she thought he was the gardener. She didn't recognize him. Now, after his resurrection, they did not recognize him. The disciples didn't recognize him or know who he was. And he said, why are you weeping? She said, they moved the body. If you move the body, she thought he was a gardener. You move the body, tell me where you moved the body. And he called her by name. And when he called her name, she recognized the tenor of his voice. He said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, which is master. Well, she goes, she's going to reach out in verse 17. Touch me not. He says to her, I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. He says, don't touch me. She obviously reached out to embrace him. And he said, no, don't do that. Because he's on his way to heaven, on his way to leave his blood at heaven's altar. We'll read those scriptures. He's going there. And when he comes back there, she's gone to the disciples as he instructed her to tell them that Jesus is alive. And they said they didn't believe that. No matter who heard it, they didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that should be too surprising. If you saw somebody die, you'd assume they were dead. You saw them buried, you'd assume, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Assume they were dead? Well, they didn't believe her. And she said, no, I saw him. They didn't believe that. Then in verse 19, he said, the same day at evening. That's the day he met Mary in the garden. The day he said, don't touch me, Mary, is the day he went and ascended to the right hand of the Father to leave his blood. Heaven has an altar. We'll show you that. And he left his blood there and then came back. It says that same day, and he went through the wall or through the door. It says the door was shut. So he didn't open the door and come in. This gives us great hope for a better body, doesn't it? It gives me great hope. And Thomas was not there. He showed the disciples his hands and his feet. And then they saw Thomas later. And Thomas said, well, I don't believe that unless I see it. Now, that's where we stumble many times over getting what we need from God. Because in spite of the fact that we know you believe the word of God and you believe what God said no matter what, we're still looking for a little evidence, aren't we? And the minute you look for evidence, you stepped back from your victory. You do know that. You have to correct yourself and correct your thoughts. The minute your thoughts don't line up with the word, you have to say, now I'm casting that thought aside. I'm not thinking that anymore because that's not in line with what God has said. Now, he appears a second time and Thomas is there. And he showed him, he said, Thomas, that's in the end of this chapter. Show me, here's my hands and touch my hands. And by then Thomas said, he told Thomas, now Thomas, don't be faithless. That's in verse 27. Thomas was caught in his unbelief. You know, if I'm in unbelief, I choose to be caught. Amen. There's no use my stumbling along in the wrong direction with my fingers crossed saying, I hope this works. He came by predetermined plan. He came to die. When he died, it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. He's turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord had laid on him. He's the only one who could have carried iniquity and defeated the enemy and freed us from sin, redeemed us from sin, redeemed us from sin, and moved us to God by our confession of faith. Now, that's what happened. Now, when Daddy died, Mama died first, and Daddy died, we were heir, my brother and sister and I, heir to the house. And so Wayne remodeled it for it because it needed some attention. I have to tell you, in that day, it's been decades ago, the house sold for $64,000. It sold recently for $220,000. Same house. It did have a new paint job because I went by and stared. My mom and dad lived there over 50 years. That's what inflation has done. So when you pray, you need to know that. You need to recognize that. Now, he said, Thomas, in verse 27, don't be faithless, but believing. And then Thomas, of course, believed. And he said, Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's in verse 20. The blessing comes by believing the word without physical evidence. And physical evidence does not require to validate the word. That it can contradict the word. So you feel terrible. I always say, and you look bad too. That has nothing to do with what God has said and with the promise that God has made. Now, look at Hebrews. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Okay. We've done this before. Some haven't heard this, but this is very important. Hebrews chapter 9. It is chapter 9, isn't it? Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. That's old covenant. The blood of goats and calves could not remit or blot out sin. They simply covered up sin till Jesus could come. But by his own blood, he entered in once into not a holy place. Do you see that? It's the holy place. There is a holy place, the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. How did he attain eternal redemption? By going to the cross, by taking sin upon himself, by paying the price in the place of torment, by going to heaven, picking up his body, telling Mary, don't touch me, and going to heaven, sending to heaven's altar to leave his blood there, as a permanent evidence that you've been redeemed. Permanent evidence. Now that's stated in this same chapter in verse 24. Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands. In other words, it wasn't earthly. It wasn't some building that man had bought. Which are figures or types. A figure is a type. Or it's a pattern. The word figure, pattern, and shadow are all used in the book of Hebrews. When you sew, does anybody sew? One and a half. I see that half a hand. Well, I used to sew, and I even made Wayne suit coats. I sewed quite well, but I hated it. And I made up my mind, if I ever have any money, I will never sew again. And bless God, that has come to pass. We now have a TV in the bedroom sitting on my grandmother's sewing machine cabinet. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing that it's sitting there. Mama's brother is still alive. He's in his 90s. Everybody else is gone. He's the last of the Mohicans, and he's still alive. And he said to me one day, he's a sweet, tiny little fella, because that's what we do in our family. We do tiny. He said, I wish I'd knew where Mother's sewing machine was. And I'm an honest person. I said, well, I do know where it is. It's at my house. Oh, no, it isn't. No, no, it couldn't be. I said, well, yes, she gave it to me long before she died. He said, it wasn't in the house. It wasn't in the house when she died. I said, I know. It was at my house. I couldn't convince him. He didn't want to believe that. But see, when you read the Word of God, you believe the Word of God. You believe what's said. And it said he went to the holy place made without hands, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. What did he go for? He went, it says in verse 12, to confirm eternal. Do you see the word eternal redemption in verse 12? That's perpetual, continual, ongoing, never-ending redemption. And the blood is there at the altar. As permanent evidence that we've been redeemed, that we've come from sin and from Satan to God. And when you come to God, you have an inheritance. You are an heir. Now look at Romans 8. It's in verse 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. Now, I was raised in the throes of religion, and what we believe, you died on the cross for sin, and there's no benefits here, no blessing here. You just hung in there, and you get to go to heaven when you die. Did y'all go to that church? Yeah, two or three of you? Well, that seemed like a good deal to me. Would have been a good deal. But see, God's plan was bigger, was much bigger than you just hang in here. One minister said, you thought you lived on Barely Get Along Street, the end of Grumble Alley, didn't you? And I thought, well, I never thought of it that way, but I believe that's what we believed. We just hang in there, and one day it's all over, and you get your inheritance. Well, let me ask you a dumb question, but what are you going to do with your healing in heaven? You're not even going to need it. You won't need anything in heaven. You won't need healing. You won't need prosperity. Now, Miss Melinda and I agreed, but she's chickened out on our agreement that we were going straight to Heaven's Kitchen for chocolate cake. Then she decided she would have whole wheat toast instead of chocolate cake. Can you imagine how confused this woman is?
Only good things are in heaven, Melinda.
Well, you know.
Toast is good.
Maybe toast in one hand, cake in the other.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll concede. He bears witness we are, not we will be, we are. Right now, today, when I was 9 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord. I really didn't accept Him as my Lord because I didn't have any concept of Lordship. I was in my late 20s when a pastor preached at our church, our denominational church, and preached on the Lordship of Christ, and I was quite surprised. Lord, that means Master, complete in authority. That means you've surrendered every inch of your life to the one who died for you and promoted you as a child and moved you into His kingdom. And the blood on the altar proves that. I was surprised. I was really surprised. And I made up my mind that day, and I didn't know how hard it would be, that I would always do what God asked me to do and I would never think of myself first. I don't know if you've tried that or not. It can be done, but it took a while. It took a while. Now, we are, and if children, that's verse 17, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Well, my sister and brother and I were joint heirs of Mama's house, Mom and Daddy's house. Do you go to Mama's house or to Daddy's house? I'm always curious. Huh?
Mama's.
You go to Mama's? Does anybody go to Daddy's house? I'm just wondering. He paid the bills and he doesn't have a house. Wayne always goes to Mama's. That's what brought me up. He said, I'm going up to Mama's. And house is still there. Mama is in heaven. We're heir and a joint heir with Christ. Well, what does that mean? What is Christ an heir to? What does He have? What does He own? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. Well, the only place I'm needy, I won't be needy in heaven. The only place I'm going to be needy is here. And I'm a joint heir. Now look at Colossians 1, a child and a joint heir. That means it's yours today. It's yours now. It's yours now, now, now. Y'all missed me hollering at you last week, didn't you? I don't know. I don't think Brother Steve hollers like I do. He's a good teacher, though. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us able, meet is able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints of God have an inheritance. Right now you can share in that inheritance. You're a joint heir. Whatever Christ is heir to, whatever belongs to Him belongs to you. He shares that with you. He's the head of the church. You're the body, and the body always shares the resources and the wisdom of the head. Now, I'm talking about today. That means when you get up and you're trying to decide, now, do I need acetaminophen or ibuprofen with that sleep aid? I forget what you call that. What is it?
Melatonin.
Right, thank you. You can tell I don't take that, but I might if I got desperate, but I've never been that desperate. Now, giving thanks unto the Father which made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Do you see all the saints have an inheritance? Every single person. The day I was 9 years old, I was heir to the world that God owned. That's what He said. The earth is the Lord's, and I'm a joint heir. Well, we were joint heirs, and I don't know if you know, three people splitting and paying the realtor and splitting $64,000 is a lot different than the people that just sold it for $220,000. Mm-hmm. See, don't short yourself of your inheritance. That's what we do. We cut ourselves short. Now, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're heirs and we're part of that kingdom and we're part of the body and he's the head and everything comes from the head, comes into the body. But the body has to believe that. If I believe I'm sick, then sickness is going to dominate me and my heirship, those things I have inherited, will not dominate me. They will not come to me because I don't believe in that. I did sort of believe, almost believe. I tried to believe. But what I really believe is I'm really sick. So I heard something this week you should know. This lady came to the minister. Y'all were here working, and I was on my sofa watching Kenneth Copeland's all week long. 100,000 sermons I heard. This lady came, and she said, I've been believing for my knee 3 years, and it's not healed. And he said, ma'am, your knee is not sick. It's worn out, and you need to believe for a new one. I loved that. Whoever thought of that? He said, it's worn out. It's not sick. It's worn out. Mm-hmm. Nothing like a little knowledge, is there?
That's true.
Nothing like a little knowledge. Okay. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 5, we're predestined. Predestined means it was known ahead of time. This is how it was going to happen. You know, it's like you know ahead of time. If you leave your stove on and you got a pan of grease on it, you know ahead of time what's going to happen. And when you find it that way, you know exactly what did happen, right? Predestined, known ahead of time, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, you became a child of God. You became an heir of God, a joint heir, and you became a part of the kingdom of God. And I became an heir when I was 9 years old, not when I was 77. Or 57, or whatever seven you are. I'm older than I've ever been. I don't know about you, but that's the way it works. Having chosen us unto him from the foundation of the world. That's verse 4 that we read. This was the plan. This was always the plan. The plan does not change. Whether or not I step into the plan changes by what I believe and what I say. Predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It's through Jesus Christ that he brought us to himself. God wanted us. He wanted you. Now look at 3 John. You're an adopted child. Third John. Here's a synopsis of what you inherited. The day you were born again, if you haven't received any of your inheritance, that's your fault. And usually it's my fault. And what the fault was it? It's called ignorance. I didn't know. I just know one day I'm getting to go to heaven when I die. That's all I knew. That's what I expected. Now look, beloved, that's you. That's the heirs. That's the children. He's talking to the children. One fellow told me that doesn't apply to today. That just applies to John. Then that's the only one God loved. Just saying. I wish above all things. Now, we used to travel a lot, and Joel lived at home. He was an adult, and he lived at home, and he was in charge of our dog. We had dogs for years. And every now and then, Ashley is a mean granddaughter. She got me this beautiful calendar of dogs. And every time I look at it, I said to Wayne, I would really like a dog. It's Ashley's fault. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. I would really like a dog. And then there was one we turned over 1 month, and there was my dog that we had for years. I said, look, 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 it's Princess. He said, Wayne is so rooted and grounded. He keeps saying, no, no, no. And next year, be sure Ashley gets me a new yearly dog calendar. Because that's very important. Okay. I wish above all things. So we left Joel at home, and he's supposed to feed the... We had dogs. We had dog, and then we had dogs, and then we had more dogs. We had 3 at one time. And he's supposed to feed the dogs. Now, I like it if he loaded the dishwasher. He didn't eat much at home when his mom was not there. And I would like it if he cleaned his room or he vacuumed or he did his laundry. But laying all that aside, above everything else, feed the dog. Now, the dog has a doggy door. She doesn't need to be walked. She can walk herself. We locked the gates when we left, and the gates were supposed to stay locked, and that's all supposed to happen. Now, we hired a girl because Joel wasn't available, and we were gone a week, and we had one can a week for the dogs, and we got back, and we still had 4 cans left, and she hadn't come. She had not slept at my house, which was part of the deal, and she had not fed the dog. And I was very irritated. But as a Christian, you have to act like one. And I said, I thank you for coming. I knew she didn't come. And I said, I marked her off my list permanently and forever. See, God is going to step into your life with your inheritance the minute he hears your voice. The minute he hears your voice, there it is. Well, here's the primary thing. Above all things, I wanted Joel to feed the dog. That's primary. That you, thou mayest prosper. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with money necessarily, although money's included. The word prosperity means to help you on the road of life. You can look that up in the dictionary Strong's. To help you on the road of life, or to help you in reaching your goals. So it could be anything beside money. And he wants you to reach your goal in life. He wants you to succeed in life. He wants you to have everything you need in life. That's part of your inheritance, is you have in your spirit the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, and Holy Ghost wisdom is going to tell you, get on that road. Mm-hmm. Stay on that road. Don't turn left off of that road. That's part of your inheritance. That's part of being a child with a father who owns the world and has all power and all knowledge over the world, who will embrace you and direct you and be sure you get your inheritance. And then it says, and be, it doesn't say healing instead of what it says. Be in health. Healing is good, health is better. Be in health. Even as your soul prospers. That means I know him. And every day I know him better. You know the song? You don't know the song. Every day is a better day when you live it for the Lord. Every day is a better day when you're walking in his word. He will take all your sins away. You know that one? You don't know that one either, Miss Melinda?
I think I've heard it.
Yeah, well. He wants you to prosper and be in health, but it comes as you dedicate yourself to his lordship in your life. He is Lord. And as you dedicate yourself to his lordship. Now, he goes to the altar of heaven to leave his blood. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back and walk on earth for 40 days before he ascends permanently to heaven. Look at Acts. He ascends permanently for the time being. That's how permanent it is until he comes again. Chapter 1. If I could find, you'd think chapter 1 would be easy to find. Verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, and nobody's quite sure who that is, of all that Jesus began both, began to do and to teach. All that he what? All that he what? See, there's a vast number of churches that believe that healing died with the last apostle. Then I don't know when they think we're going to ever need it again, because we won't need it in heaven. And Jesus began something. He didn't know he was finished. Says he began it. Mm-hmm. Now who's going to continue it on? Church. First, I'm going to start with me and my household. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to believe for our household that we walk into our complete inheritance in God. See, I was 9 years old when I got saved, and I was 30 something odd when I found out about the Holy Ghost. Didn't have a clue. And the day I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I never had another migraine headache. Because I stepped by faith into my inheritance. I had migraine headaches from the time I was in 7th or 8th grade. In days when there wasn't much they could do for you. And my mother would close all the blinds, make everybody tiptoe, turn everything off. There's no sound, there's no light. Because we didn't know I had an inheritance. You've got to claim your inheritance. You're a child of God. You're an heir, a joint heir. You have an inheritance, and it includes everything you need to prosper. and be in health. Now, right now. And he said he began some things. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, he's going to be 40 days before he goes back and sends to the right hand of the Father. Now look at Isaiah 53 and let's see one more time this verse. It tells us what we have inherited, what belongs to us. Verse 5, he was wounded for transgressions. Well, we don't have any problem with that. That's one thing we know. One thing most church people know, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was wounded for all your sins, transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. Transgressions, iniquities is somewhat the same thing. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And that's not simply mental. It's everything you need in life. You walk in the peace towards that goal. See, we could say peace is absence of frustration, absence of irritation, absence of trouble. But those are the results of peace. Peace comes from walking with God and walking in His Word. It comes when my soul prospers. And when my soul prospers and I walk in the Word, you see, then I have peace and then I have absence from trouble. When trouble comes, it doesn't bother me because Jesus is Lord, supreme in authority over my life. He's Lord. And then it says, peace. With His stripes, we are healed. And that's all John was saying to the people he wrote. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and walk in health as your soul prospers. He's saying, I'm praying that you have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding enlightened so that you can walk in the fullness of God's Word, so that your confession can meet the Word. You know, if God's saying one thing and I'm saying another thing, we got trouble here, right? You'd have trouble if your mama said one thing and you said something else. Do you remember that day? Was I the only one that got in trouble? I have to know I am healed. 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 Because that's what God said. My body is not allowed to give any physical evidence of disability. My body is not allowed to give any physical evidence of sickness, disease, or physical disability because I'm an heir of God and everything that God has now belongs to me. And I get all of my evidence from what God has said and what He has provided for His children, for His heirs.
Amen.
Now, most places are waiting to get something when you die. And there's a song we used to sing, you'll understand that better, by and by. By and by. In other words, you never get it now, but, you know, one day you'll understand why you didn't get it. And did y'all sing that song?
Yes.
Yeah, we did too. These people are heirs. Say, I'm an heir. Raise your hand to heaven. I'm an heir. It's mine now. It's mine today. I am not sick. I am well. My body does not tell me what God is doing. My body cannot tell me what God is doing. My body will not tell me what God is doing because I'm not listening. I'm not listening. I'm listening to God. I'm listening to His Word.